session number 9756, reel 4.
Mr. Manton, take 4. I think you were saying that you had, with your wound, you had trouble internally with bleeding. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, they couldn't get me to pass any motion, you see. So they tried it with the bougie, you know, the back passage, and then they tried with taking medicine as well. But they never come to it. And then they tried with an injection, and I think that did the trick.
Did you feel very ill with all this?
It took a long time for it to pass through.
And did you feel very ill?
Yeah, I wasn't too good myself, not really. Because I couldn't lift my arms about much, right, neither.
Did you think they would send you back to France again after that?
Well, now you don't expect anything. I thought I might, because that was the second time I'd been out, that was, wasn't it?
Yes.
So when they sent me home from there, they sent me down to Keighley. In England. See, on the first time I come home, when I was going through here, my father had passed away, you see, and the funeral was on, they would let me out of the train to go to the funeral. They took me up to Sheffield, you see.
Were you upset about that?
Yeah, well, I was really, because they wrote through and told me my dad had died in France, you see, and sent a telegram. And that's how it happened, you see. But I could have got home earlier, but they wouldn't let me off because of floating mines in the channel. So I delayed that time. When they sent out, told me my father had passed away. Yeah, that's a bit upsetting, really. That was. I think I could be. I could walk. You know.
Yes, and you could have been there time-wise. You could have made the funeral.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a shame, really. Anyhow. We've got to talk about the second time out there, haven't we?
Yes. Wait, how soon after your...
When I came home, when they came back, I went to Keighley, that's right, to Keighley. And the hospital there, this was the private hospital there, you know, we want the National Health Hospital. And it was a bachelor who used to come there and take you down to his house, you know, so many from the hospital, you know, they give you tea and give you cigarettes or something. And you know, he was an homosexual, eh? he was an homosexual.
How did you know that?
Well, because he tried to come it on me. He tried to come it on me. He come to me and he got it in his hand. He's got it in his hand. I just give him a push out the way. Terrible, really, isn't it? It just shows you what that's. See, he's a bachelor. Got a great big mansion here. They sent me home from Keighley and I went to. They sent me to home for had a bit of a leave light, and then they sent me down to Alton Camp. Alton Camp is not far from here, is it? It's down in Tringway. Alton Camp. You know this district? It's near Aylesbury. Yeah, they sent me to Alton Camp. From Alton Camp, they sent me out then to France again.
When they sent you back to France, were you fit, do you think?
Yeah, you know, when they sent me back to France a third time, they put me in the London Scottish. That's the next regiment I was shoved into, and I had to put kilts on in the trenches. They had me kilts on then.
What was that like, wearing a kilt in the trench?
Terrible, with kilts on in the trenches, you're sweat raging, hitting your legs like this here, and your legs are bare here. I would never want to put those on. I want two batting kilts, though, really. Of course, I had to fill up the regiment there because they lost so many men, you see. And now I went on the Irish sector more on there. I was. We went to Popperinge and that way as well, Popperinge. But I was on the actor sector, it was when, soon after that, that was when they broke the Hindenburg line on the Irish sector. They put me down on the Irish station there to stop stragglers from coming down from the line, you know, running away. Do you know what I mean?
Were there many, do you think?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of stragglers coming away, out the way, yeah. And they started shelling this station while I was on there, the Irish station. And there was not only me, there's others as well. We had to go down a dugout round like that, but underneath the station. It was a brick one like that. God, I never had such thrashing in all my life. And out, and it's a big, in the front of the station, a big surrounding like that, you know, with big houses, you know, all in, or probably offices or hotels or something. And the Queen Mary, and the Virgin Mary was up there on the wall, and I never even knocked that down. That still stood up there. Virgin Mary's still up there. Yeah, I got a piece of wood from Irish station.
This is the railway station, is it?
It was the railway station, yeah. I got a piece of this here, wood, lovely wood on the seats and that they got in there. I cut oval out and put my wife's photo in there. I got upstairs now.
Do you remember any incident of catching one of these stragglers trying to get out?
Oh, yeah, you've got to report them.
Can you remember catching any?
What, coming down?
Yes.
By the time, as soon as they got me down there, they started shelling this station. Of course, then they was breaking on the Hindenburg line, then getting through the Hindenburg line, you see. And after they done the shelling, after they stopped shelling the station, I went back to the regiment.
And what was this regiment like? You know, did you mind going to the London Scots?
Well, I want to, babe. I found out after I got in New England again, I picked up with 2 pals. They was nice to me. They used to call me Cooley because I was dark. And now, I got back into the line again. We was advancing up over there. Of course, they broke the forts down a bit, so we got there. I got to one trench there. I started looking up there, so the doctor said, "Don't stand there looking, get on with it." It was a trench full of dead bodies, and you had to walk over them. Yeah. So, got down into the other trenches there after we got up the top, because you had to walk a long way to there. And I went over the top. I was second man on Lewis gun then, got spare parts. And I got over the top, got so far over the top, and I got shot through the face there. Hit me here, come out here, look.
Through your nose?
Yeah,
and
hit the
cheek.
Nose and come out here, look.
Left side of the nose.
Right, right through there. Cut on my teeth, along the top of my teeth. And they had to prow up my nose here, do you know, for the wound. That was terrible, right there. I can't, two lovely black eyes, and like, put everything up. Yes, so now, that finished it. Every time I got home and got into hospital, and they used to make me laugh, you know, to get my lip up, you know. And, eventually I got over it in the hospital, you know, and the time I got in there, I got home and they gave me a little bit of leave from the hospital, and, the armistice was signed, so you tell you how far it was off on the when they broke the Hindenburg line. See, I was sent home straight away. I was, and
it's that second spell when you were sent back to this action on the Hindenburg line.
They sent me down to
when you went back, you know, to the Hindenburg.
Yeah, yeah.
Arras area, to the station first of all, and yeah, then yeah, in action against yeah, yeah, the Hindenburg
yeah,
line.
Yeah.
This would be getting towards the summer of 18, would it?
Yeah, it was getting towards the Armistice was signed in November the 11th, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, that was somewhere about September time, wasn't it?
Yes, I would think, yes. Yeah. Yes, well, I was wondering, you know, what the action was like in that area then.
September, October time, that was, yes. Yeah.
Were you moving forward quickly?
I believe it was October. I believe it was. I never wrote it in that book. It was in. It must have been in October because the time I got home, I don't know, it might have been September. So I got home, I went into hospital, and I was in there for a little while, and then they sent me home on leave, and then I had to go to Wisbeach. Then they sent me to Wisbeach, and we had to go in a wood yard to, where we had to sleep. We got all the beds in an old wood yard, it was covered in, and the armistice was signed while I was there.
How did you feel about that when you heard the war was over?
Yeah, quite good. I thought it was a change there, but
did you have a celebration?
Well, we had a good old ramble round the town, because I was with the London Scottish boys, you see, and they called me a coolie because they fell in love with me or something. I don't know why. They liked me anyhow. And when we got into town once, there they was, they started throwing the electric lights in the road, because the lights was on then. Yeah, they were smashing these bulbs. Yeah, I thought, I'm going to get caught here, but be careful. They're really gentleman's sons, you know, really.
Were they?
Oh, yeah. See, you've got to be of the Scottish ascent, you see, because I wasn't. I'm just a Lutheran. But you had to fill the ranks up, see, because so many had gone. You're glad to get anybody.
Yes, you were telling me how you had to wear a kilt.
You had to wear the
in
kilt.
The trenches.
Yeah.
Was that, you know, how did you react to that? Was it comfortable or uncomfortable?
Well, it wasn't comfortable, because the water in the trenches, and it's like you with a long dress on, you was in the water all the time, it's flopping up against your leg all the time. We got bare leg, you see. We'd only got socks up to there, you know, what they call, they give them a name, there. And then you bear up to here, you see. You so kilt and you come to there.
Yes, can I ask you the proverbial question? What do Scotsmen wear under their kilts?
Well, you don't wear nothing while you're in England.
Don't you?
Nothing at all, no.
No pants?
No pants in England, no.
How about in the trenches?
Oh, no, yes, they give you bloomers in the trenches, because of mustard gas. Mustard gas is liquid, you see, because they're going on to your private parts. You had trench bloomers were open down there for the front and open at the back for the back. Like ladies, weren't they, in the old days? Our ladies had bloomers in the old days, didn't they, old people? Yes, they give us bloomers then. Because that was when the liquid, right, so they didn't go onto the private part. See, with your leg, they could heal that better, and they could come onto your private part, it would be painful, wouldn't it? See?
Did you experience any more gas, you know, when you went back to France with your kilt?
Oh, yes, at one time he did. He had to put the gas mask on at one time, yeah.
Were they effective?
There wasn't too much gas about, really, and it was only just at a certain time. That was towards the end. Of course, you'd put it on, if the gas was coming, the mustard gas was just the same. You'd put the mask on if they told you gas was about.
And do you think the masks were good? Were they effective, the gas masks you wore?
Well, they was all right, yeah, they was good. The gas masks was all right, yeah. Yeah, they'd be good, yeah.
With all these wounds that you received, you know, you've explained you were shot through the arm and through the rib and through the nose and cheek.
Who?
With all the wounds that you had,
yeah.
Did you receive a disability pension at all?
No.
Disability?
No, never did.
And has it
made... Never had a pension, no, I got... It's all got this inside me, never got a pension. I go out with this in here to get this one. Yeah. Never had a pension, no. Mark no one.
Really?
Yeah.
And do you think that was right? You know, has it affected your health?
Well, at times I've been down to the Luton Hospital and they give me x-rays and still found it in there. Still on the plate. He down at Colchester and I went down to Colchester. I didn't tell you that, did I? When I was down at Colchester.
Yes, could you tell us?
That was before I went to France on the second time, yeah. And I got this shrapnel inside me through the chest, and I said this. The doctor said I was on the. I told him I was on the catheter. He said, "Never mind about that. You go down to Colchester Hospital and get an x-ray plate made of it and wait for it and bring it back to me." And when I took it back to him, he had a look at it and said, "Is there? It's lodged up against the bone." He said, "That'd be all right." Sent me out with not 1 hour's leave. Yeah. I've been in train, okay, out of France then on the third time.
How did you feel about that?
Which I'm telling you about it now.
Did you think it very unfair that
but a lot of them went, run down to the station and went off the train. A lot of them just left the regiment, went off.
Deserted?
Yeah, deserted. Yeah. My pal, I was with at Colchester, and we got just bit on parade for being the smartest on parade. He went off too. He got done to, I don't know. See, I picked up with him while I was in the army, you see. Yes, he bound off on the train. What they got done to, I don't know. It's severe when you do that. You know, of course, you're deserting from the war zone, aren't you, really?
Did you ever hear, while you were at the front, of any of the mutinies of the troops, you know, that occurred?
Well, it was a mutiny then, because they about sending them out without leave down at Colchester. They had the horses... They had the officer there on the horses chasing them round down at Colchester. Oh, yeah.
You saw that yourself, did you?
Yeah, I saw that myself. Yeah, I was there.
And what was happening? The men were rebelling, were they?
Yeah, those that went off. And then a finish after, those that run off out the way went off by train. And we had to fall in. The officers got us pulled in and us remained, and we were sent off. We were. Yeah, and that's when I got transferred to London Scottish.
Yeah. When you think of France, you know, your experience in France compared to Gallipoli, was it better, do you think?
It's better in France, yeah, really, in a way, you know, because on Gallipoli, all you're doing is marching about all over the place, you see. Here, there and everywhere.
You were saying about, you know, your living conditions in Gallipoli, and I wonder how these compared with France, you know. For instance, food and your drink.
Oh, in France, you got your food and that stuff in France, all right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's all right in France.
Did you get hot meals there, for instance?
Did we get hot meals?
Yes, when you were in France.
When you come out for rest, you did, yeah. Of course, you've got the cooks to do the job, you see. You were in bad chance on that when you come out for a rest.
And did you have a greater chance of keeping clean in France than in Gallipoli?
You got more chance of being clean than what we did on the Dardanelles, yeah.
You were saying about the lice on the Dardanelles, you know, and how your pal cried because he was lousy. Did this happen in France as well? Did you get fleas in France?
Yeah, you got the house in France, just the same, yeah.
How about the dead bodies in France? Did you have, you know, quite so many as you had on Gallipoli?
Oh, you had more in France than what you did on Gallipoli, really.
And there again, did you have to do anything about burying them?
No, I didn't, not in France, no.
What you know, from what you've explained to me, the jobs you did in Gallipoli, you know, burying the bodies, and then in France, carrying up all those heavy loads, and then when you were in convalescing, how you had to shovel the excrement get rid of that. It seemed you had some very arduous and unpleasant jobs.
I did, yeah. Unpleasant job, really, during my time in the army, yeah.
Which do you think was the worst job? Which one did you hate most of all, do you think?
Well, it's a job the same, isn't it? Of course, I mean, the hardest part was on the Dardanelles as well, so of course we got nothing on there, had we? We hadn't got the food, we hadn't got the water, we hadn't got anything else. But as far as heavy fighting, the heavy fighting was more heavy fighting in France than it was on the Dardanelles, really.
Did your dysentery ever come back when you were in France?
No, I've had it once or twice since I've been home, afterwards. Yeah. Yes, that upsets your stomach for a long, long time, that does. Terrible, isn't it? Well, so on that time, when I, are you okay? At that time when I went out the first time, you know, the second time, after I come from the Loudoun House, I went out the first time, when I got it through here, I had a cold now, about 102 temperature, and they sent me down to a dressing station. I had to walk to it. When I got down there, the doctor said to me, "What's the matter with you?" I said, "Well, I come down, I got a temperature, I got cold." He said, "What do you want?" "A little Christian Science," he said to me, this doctor. So I just left him and walked back home to the camp and told the doctor. He said, "You get in the bow tent, you get in the tent and lay there for a time." I've been to Dardanelles and back. He said, "You want a little Christian Science?" he said to me. He meant to say, "I'm shirking it." I went, "Oh, okay," come back and I see an old farm bloke with his horse and cart. I said, "Could you give me a lift, please?" So he gave me a lift back to the camp. And I went and told the doctor what he sent it to me. And I said, I've come away and left him. I said, "Come home. I've come back to the camp." Yeah, because it's called me a shirker. Blimey. Bloke here joined up and volunteers to go into the forces, and you go through the war zone and you get called a shirker. And you're out there for the second time. It's all wrong, isn't it?
Did you ever have any religious support at the front? You know, were there padres?
Oh yeah, we had padres. We had on the Dardanelles, we had a padre giving us a service on there. We had a service on the Dardanelles, and while we're standing there, one bloke had a bullet hit him right in the forehead, and he just went like that and pulled it out with spent bullet. See what I mean? It lost its pulse. So you tell your father where he was from the fighting line. Yeah, he just pulled it out like that. He went halfway in his forehead. He stood next to me. Yeah, give us a service and the hymn, you know, sing him, yeah.
Was that a comfort to you?
Oh yeah, very nice, yeah. I remember I was having a service and Blake come up with a sea of water with the bladder with the water in. We had a drink then, the water. Well, they purified the water down at the sea.
When you were in France, did you have good periods of rest there? Were you able to get behind the lines and really relax when you were?
Well, we did when you were out for a rest. Coming out for a rest.
Yes. You know, yeah, what did you do then?
Well, we could go about. You could go. You know, if there's anything about, you could go and like anywhere where you could get something to eat, or go in a shop, or go in there. But there was nowhere where you could go in pictures or anything like that.
How about the sort of estaminet?
Well, South France was knocked down. Not much. What's there? Buildings had all knocked down. Eh?
Is how about the sort of drinking places? Did you go there?
Where?
To places where you could drink.
Oh yes, you could go in and have a drink if you could find one. In Malta, you couldn't go in a public house in Malta. You know why?
No.
Only sailors could go in. Not soldiers. Soldiers had to go to their own camp. You know, no soldiers wouldn't go in. No, they wouldn't let soldiers in the pub. No, we used to go in a cafe, and you'd get it in a cafe.
Did you miss not having young ladies about while you were in France and Gallipoli?
You know what?
Did you miss not having the young ladies
about?
Oh
yes, you miss them. Oh yes, really. Yes, because I was courting when I went out there. I was courting with a girl I never married. I was courting her, and they told me when I come home, when I got down to Amptill, that they wrote and told me that she'd been knocking about with a sergeant. So I just wrote her out and told her, I said, "Well, I'm finished with you now. I said, I've heard all about what you've been doing." So her mother wrote to me and told me, "Well, you wouldn't step your foot over my threshold anymore." So I said to her, "I don't want to." And she married a sergeant at the finish, and she had a daughter by him, and then he left her at the long run. He left her, she was left on her own, so she got a punishment that way. Yeah, that's how I picked up my wife when I was in Amptill. I did. I was married in coach and pair, in the carriage and pair.
Do you think the war had any lasting effects on your life? You know, the Great War. When you look back, you know, has it influenced?
Well, yes, I did, because I had a breakdown, you know, and the doctors put it down to after the war effects. And I was out of work for quite 12 months, you know. I was afraid to walk past any railings, you know, everything. Well, I could fall over. Yes, oh yes, I was terrible. I couldn't walk about hardly, because it caught me in the head. They called it vertigo, I think. Is it vertigo? Come up back of the head.
Did you apply for a disability pension?
Yeah, I said to the doctor about it when I went to had the x-rays there in St Mary's Hospital in Luton. I said, it's still there. I said, they've got it on the plate now. They've just seen it. I said, what are you going to do about it? He will commit himself, you know. He won't tell you anything. No, he won't do anything. He never
did. So you've never actually had any pension of any...
I've had no pension up for war service, now. No.
Do you feel bitter about that?
Yeah, but I should have it for carrying this. But they put me out to France a second time with this in, didn't they? A third time with this in there. It just shows you what they was like in 1914. You got nothing in 14. They got plenty in the Second World War. All they thought about was putting you back out of hospital and back again and shut me out in the prize again. That's all they're thinking about. Then when you come out, they say it's fit for heroes to live in.
What do you think of that? Was it?
When you got out, there was no work to do.
Did you have a trouble getting a job?
No, I went back to where they tried to get me, where I working up here.
Yes, you were saying about your job, getting a job after the war.
No, I went back to work. They tried to get me back out of the army, you know, when I joined up. And if I'd have waited another fortnight, I shouldn't have gone in. They wouldn't let me go in. So they stopped them from going in, those that was on munitions, you see, in engineering. Yes, they'd have had me out.
Did you regret?
They never got me out. They couldn't get me out, no.
Did you regret volunteering?
No, not really. I did it myself. I went up and... I thought, well, I'll be a soldier, I'll fight for my country, and I just went in. No, I never had any regrets for it myself. Yeah. No, I just did it. The job I did myself, I thought, well, I'll get on with it.
Well, Mr. Manton, thanks very much for telling me all about it.
Yeah, I got to get on with it, really. I volunteered, that's why I took it. So I've got to get over it.